Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to rise above the tumult and difficulty and challenges of life, to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to see the Lord, draw near to the Lord, and to be changed by our encounter with Him and therefore change the world around us. And today we're spending time again with Father Timothy Gallagher, OMV. Father Gallagher has been one of the most important figures in the church today in terms of advancing authentic Ignatian spiritual tradition, and in particular in the realm of discernment of spirits. It's affected my life the most personally. And he's written a new book called Discernment of Spirits in Marriage, Ignatian Wisdom for Husbands and Wives, published by Sophia Institute Press. And I really think it's the best book he's written, and his books are all A-quality books.
Yeah. You know, I would even, you've mentioned a number of times, if you're married, you should read this book and such. But I would say, even if you're not, or if you think you might be discerning marriage, or if you're engaged, or for those in the single vocation, it is so clear to see how the rules work out in the life of Mark and Anne and in their thought processes.
And Mark and Anne are the fictitious characters playing out, teaching us the rules basically by their life experience. And Father Gallagher's framed that for us.
In that journey, it's just so clear, and it really brings the rules alive. I love this book.
Yeah, it's really an exceptional book, and it's such an easy read, which is you learn the rules through experience, not just through kind of abstract ideas. Mm-hmm. And Father Gallagher in his other works has done a good job of giving specific examples and that sort of thing. But this one is more experientially based, and I think it's easier to grasp what he's trying to teach us. So we're on episode 6 of 14. Eventually, all the episodes will be up out at spiritualdirection.com. But we're grateful to be airing our conversation today on EWTN radio and also live streaming at the time of recording. So let's jump into chapter number 6, Father Gallagher with Anne and Mark. And this chapter is called Alone in the Kitchen. Why don't you set it up for us?
Sure. So the struggle that Mark and Anne have been going through continues. And as this particular experience opens, Anne, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. Anne has just returned. When the children are at school, Anne teaches. She's a special ed teacher. So when she returns, the children are still at school. Mark is at work, and she's alone in the kitchen, hence the title of the chapter. And she gets a cup of coffee. She sits at the table in the kitchen, and there's a real heaviness in her heart. It's certainly the ongoing heaviness in her heart with respect to Mark and his struggles and how they're unable to share this. But also, more immediately, she's had a very difficult morning teaching. One of her special ed students, Steve, was particularly unruly and undisciplined in the morning, and it was a very difficult morning. She has a sense that she's not making any progress with him. All of her best efforts are getting nowhere with him. So she sits at the table, pretty discouraged by all this. In front of her on the table is the Bible, and it's open to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom should I fear? It's open to that verse, to that psalm, because Anne has been praying with that. Normally, when she gets home from work in the morning and before picking up with the activity of the afternoon, she spends a few minutes reading from Scripture. And yesterday she was reading Psalm 27 and found it helpful. Well, there's the Bible on the table open in front of her, but in her heaviness of heart and discouragement, Anne just doesn't feel any desire to pick it up. And instead finds herself thinking of going on Instagram or Facebook, just checking email again, even though she's just done it recently. There's the remote, just flipping on the television and watching one of these shows in the early afternoon. maybe something on the Hallmark Channel or something like that. Netflix is there, of course. And there also is the phone. And sometimes when Ann gets pretty discouraged, she'll call up, we'll call her friend, in quotes, Sally, who is always happy to talk. But Ann well knows that when they get talking, the conversation pretty quickly will slip into gossip and to things that really aren't very good. So here are all of these choices that she faces, but something in Ann recognizes none of these are really going to help. They're just going to increase the emptiness. And so from her heart, very simply and in a very unstudied way, she just makes a prayer to the Lord. Jesus, I'm alone here. I'm discouraged. Help me to do what you want me to do here. Help me to make the right choices in dealing with this, and help me to avoid choices that aren't good here. Having made that prayer, she is able to reach out for the Bible, and she picks up the Psalm 27, and she slowly reads the first lines from it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear, and so forth. And as she reads this, her heart is just a little bit lightened with the sense that I'm not alone here. Lord, you're with me. And now Anne finds herself asking herself, look, what's going on here? What am I feeling? And just a little bit of reflection enables her to name this. This is spiritual desolation. Just to put that title on it already is a huge step toward liberation. Because you can't deal with an overwhelming cloud of heaviness, but you can deal with a specific experience of spiritual desolation. And as she looks at all of this, she asks herself also, well, how did this get started? What's going on here? And she can recognize that the immediate tipping point was the difficulty in dealing with Steve and the discouragement from that. And Anne finds herself resolving that she's going to speak with her supervisor at school, who is really good with these things, and whose advice Anne knows will help her with it. Having resolved that, her heart feels just a little better as well. And now Anne decides, no, I'm not going to turn to social media. I'm not going to call Sally. I'm not going to head to the refrigerator or flip on the television. And instead, she gets up and goes about some of her tasks in the house. And then when the time arrives, gets in the car to go pick up the children at school. All right, so that's the experience. And this is exactly what Ignatius speaks about in his sixth rule, which is a companion to Rule 5. If in Rule 5, Ignatius tells us the changes we should not make ever in time of spiritual desolation, don't ever change what you'd planned to do before the desolation began. In Rule 6, Ignatius tells us about another kind of change, which is very helpful, not to our proposals, but to ourselves and to the way we're handling the desolation. And he proposes the four tools that Anne very simply uses. That is prayer of petition, ask for help. Meditation, call to mind truths of God's word, God's love, memories of God's fidelity in the past that'll strengthen you to know you can get through this one too. Examine what's going on. What am I feeling? How did this start? Things shrink down to size when you can name their causes and name what's going on. And then finally, what he calls suitable penance. Instead of just giving way and fleeing into gratification, which doesn't resolve anything, in small ways, stand your ground and move in the opposite direction, as Anne does. Now, if you apply those four tools in time of spiritual desolation, it's a pretty good toolkit for dealing with spiritual desolation.
You know, it's really beautiful, Father, and I can really relate to this. What I like about it the most is because in this rule, in recognizing, okay, being able to name where you are, I'm in desolation, what's going on with me? You know, taking inventory of how you're feeling, what's drying your heart, how are you responding to what's happening to you? That what happens next is that she, after taking that evaluation in the meditation, she goes to the source. She goes to our source of liberation, to the one place that we know that if we go, we will be set free, that through the name of Jesus, it drives away the darkness. And so just in turning to Scripture, in turning her heart to the Lord, she starts to be strengthened. The darkness starts to lift. You know, then that gives her clarity to say, okay, when did this start? What's happening? What's going on? It's such a beautiful role. And then she's able to make a good and right decision to go the right direction. And I just, those who practice this will understand that it is a game changer. It's an absolute game changer.
I had a young man once, when we had gone through rules 5 and 6, approach me in the break. And he said, I used to play football in high school. And he said, the way I think of rules 5 and 6 is this. Rule 5 is like playing defense. You don't let the enemy into your territory. But he said, I especially like rule 6, because rule 6 is like playing offense. You go right at the enemy. Mm-hmm. And you use those tools, you know, of prayer, petition, meditation, examination, and suitable penance. It's a very, very nice summary of these two rules and how they fit together.
So in terms of examination, one of the things I've found helpful in times of desolation, and I don't know if this is a proper application, it's the way I've done it, is that I try to back up and gain perspective and ask, especially when it's heavier desolation, what is this going on? Where is this coming from? And sometimes when it's really bad, I'll ask Stephanie, you know, or she'll ask me, and I've done this with her, you know. Not too long ago, she had some really heavy desolation, and then she told me, you know, she was feeling a ton of anxiety, and I said, describe it for me. And then she began to describe it and the way she was feeling, and the way she was feeling, she knew as she spoke it was not true, and I knew as she spoke it was not true. And then we went through a series of renunciations. But there's a real power, Father, it seems to me, in doing our best when we go, oh, there's desolation, then stepping back and asking, you know, Lord, what's really going on here? So that you know specifically at times how to fight.
Yeah, and I think what's really important there is that you turn to the Lord, right? You go again to our source of liberation, our freedom, to all that's good, right, holy, wonderful, to the Blessed Trinity, and say, Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. I love that we can speak to our Lord, that he is so personal, so he knows everything about us, every hair on our head, and he longs for us to just look to him, just like a child. When a child gets lost, what do they do in the middle of Target? When they get lost, the first thing you hear is mommy, right, you know, or daddy, you know, right. this panicked call out to, where are you? I can't see you. Right. Mm-hmm. And every mother knows that sound, or every dad knows that sound. And, you know, you have all these parents turning around going, there's somebody in trouble. We need to go to their help. But we do the same, is that when we're in that darkness, that we call to the Lord, and it can be just a gentle turning and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me get out of this. So when we get back from the break, let's follow up with how that works in this role, Father.
Hey, friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than 5 dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke talking with Father Timothy Gallagher. It's so interesting. I actually lost track of time. And thankfully, I looked at the clock right as the segment was ending, the first segment, when we're talking about rule number 6, how it plays out in marriage, how it plays out in terms of how we can fight desolation when it comes. We're talking with Father Timothy Gallagher, OMV, about his book, Discernment of Spirits in Marriage. And we're in episode 6 of 14. And Father Gallagher unpack a little bit more for us how, when we find ourselves in desolation, we shouldn't make a change to what we've decided to do prior, but now we should make a change against the desolation. And are we on track with respect to what we were describing about much examination? Maybe there's some more insights you have about that.
Sure. Well, to pick up on two of the things that you said, Stephanie, you know, just how good it is to know that we're in desolation, we can turn to the Lord. I've always thought that it's advisedly that Ignatius puts that first. Of these four tools that he mentions in Rule 6, prayer, petition, meditation, examination, suitable penance, the first is the prayer petition, which, as you said, Stephanie, is as unstudied and simple as whatever words come from our hearts. Jesus, help me. Mary, I need you right now. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to do. Or some saint to whom you feel an affinity, to whom you might turn, Therese or whoever it might be, in time of desolation. And that's actually, I think, the most powerful tool that we have. Prayer is powerful. There's nothing that prayer cannot do because it brings the power and love of God upon us. Now, I've often wondered about this too. Does that seem too obvious to say? You know, when Anne sits there at the kitchen table at 1:30 with all of this heaviness in her heart, does she or do we in parallel situations easily and spontaneously think of turning to prayer to God in this way? That's the first counsel that Ignatius gives us. And now both Dan and Stephanie, you've both spoken about the examination that Ignatius speaks of. I think one very clear way to present that is ask yourself two questions. One, what am I feeling? If you can get to the point where you can say to yourself, oh, you know what? I'm feeling spiritual desolation here. As I said before, that's a huge step toward liberation. Kind of amorphous, overwhelming cloud of darkness resolves into spiritual desolation. Okay, no shame. You can deal with that. And the second question is, how did this begin? We may not always be able to see that, but when we can, that is, again, very, very helpful. So Anne, for example, recognizes that she was basically, things weren't too bad until she had this difficult morning with Steve at special ed class in the morning. She makes, okay, now she can do something about it. And she decides that she's going to speak with her supervisor, and her heart already feels better about this. Dan, you know, you mentioned how you do this, and I think that fits very much with Ignatius's Rule 6. One way in which I've done this at times is, let's say I'll put down the phone at the end of a phone call, and before picking up the phone for the next one, or maybe I end, answer an email and before going on to the next, or maybe I finish a meeting and I'm walking down the hall toward the next meeting and I have just a minute or two even. Sometimes literally I've done this. There's an empty room. I go in, shut the door, and ask the Lord to help me understand what's going on. You know those times when you feel a heaviness in your heart, but you don't yet know what it is? And just even beginning to look at it. Sometimes I'll get it very quickly. Sometimes I won't, but my heart already begins to lift because the process of getting clarity has begun. And I know I'm going to return to it when I pray the examine later in the day. So that kind of prayer and that kind of examine, yeah, they're really, really helpful. Rule 6, almost, together with Rule 5, is almost what you need to deal with desolation. There are other things like Rule 13 and so on, but if you practice Rule 6, it will make an enormous difference.
You know, one thing you said I really liked, and I've used this before, is getting up and changing your context, because I think it helps to break patterns of thought and get your head clear. So getting up, walking around, going outside. We have a chapel in our home, God be praised. So going up to the chapel or whatever, to kind of break the context and the patterns of thinking that are destructive caused by the negative thoughts introduced. Another couple things about this rule that I think could use a little more unpacking. So we talked about crying out to God. I loved what Stephanie and you said about that. Then meditation, examination, kind of what's going on here. Let's say that we run into desolation with respect to how, you know, some situation between us in marriage. Is there, and I know that might be too abstract, but this idea of extending ourselves in some suitable way of doing penance, maybe you can apply it to Mark and Anne in this story, but help us understand more deeply, what does that mean in this context?
Well, I'll say something, and then I'm going to turn this over to both of you, because you're the ones who are actually living this each day. But let's say, for example, in terms of suitable penance, if a part of Anne's desolation is that maybe she was sharp with Mark the night before, or she was more selfish than she should have been in responding to one of his needs, or to something that she could have done for the sake of the family or the children, then it might be that her suitable penance in this case would involve going out of her way to do something that will be of help to Mark that she knows he'll appreciate. Maybe there's somebody that he really needs to get back to, or something that needs to be returned to someone, or just getting a special meal, or whatever it might be. But if she can make gestures of this kind, they're probably, Ignatius would smile and say, that's pretty suitable penance in that circumstance. But now I'd rather hear both of you speak about this.
Well, it's really beautiful because, the lovely thing about this is as you start to live these rules and they become commonplace in your relationship, is then you can start to live it out loud with each other. I know one of the things that Dan and I do, and this is part of the end of our day, when we come together after our night or right before our night prayer, we will turn to one another and say, how did I serve you today? Was everything okay? And in that moment, we're kind of having a dialogue, how did I serve you? This happened, whatever happened. We talk about things that are beautiful. But that's also our time of kind of drawing back together, especially if it's been a particularly heavy or busy day, or when we've known there's been desolation. And I usually take that moment to say, I'm really sorry for the way I handled that. I'm sorry for my impatience, or I'm sorry that perhaps I overreacted or whatever it was. And that gives Dan a way to respond. So for me, that's my act of penance, that rather than, it's one thing to go do something, kind of one step removed, but there's a greater self-denial in going to the person directly and not saying, not putting any other kind of blame, but saying, for my part, I'm sorry that I didn't handle that better. And it's a beautiful way that once we go to sleep every night, we're at peace. We have reconciled. We are one as we pray and as we slip off to sleep.
Yeah, and the reason I think that's so penitential is that it's incredibly vulnerable and difficult. And especially when you're struggling, when I struggle, it's really hard to go, okay, did I serve you okay today? It's like, I don't really want to talk about it and I don't want to hear it, but it's an act of the will, self-denial and self-giving, which is what, ascesis is and what part of what penance is really just saying, it doesn't matter how I feel. My relationship's more important than how I feel. And I need to come back to my wife, and I need to not allow, scripture says, don't ever go to bed angry because you allow a foothold of the devil. And so we don't want to allow that foothold.
Yeah. And one caveat with that is that it's really important to nurture a relationship where it's safe to have those conversations, right?
Because there's no argument in that moment.
No, and no condemnation of the other, whatever. So you have to have this place where you love one another enough selflessly, which is the goal, is selflessly, so that we can dialogue about this and come to reconciliation to bring ourselves back together as one under the care of the one that brought us together in the first place and who we desire to animate our marriage. And it's a very healthy, life-giving practice.
Yeah, I think you've just given a very rich and beautiful illustration of living these rules for the discernment of spirits in the specific vocation to marriage. Again, this is a kind of, I live in community with other priests, and some of this applies in a very similar way in terms of just living together and resolving whatever, you know, tensions might come up in the course of the day and so on. But in its own very specific and beautiful way, that is unique in all the vocations, husbands and wives, please God can be this for each other. The presupposition would be that each one individually is trying to live this kind of relationship with the Lord. So the prayer, if you can get familiar with the rules, but when you can do this together, wow, that's a really powerful thing. That kind of marriage is going to grow stronger and be fruitful.
Please God. And, you know, one thing that you said is very important is that these rules, as you try to live them out in your marriage, we have to start living them ourselves. You know, I have to live a discerning life, a prayer life, and grow hopefully in holiness and strive to be holy. And when Dan does the same, then it allows for this safety, this ability to then live it out in marriage.
It's a common language, too.
It's a common language. And for those that are not blessed that way, that may have an unequally yoked marriage, you can still learn to live the discerning life with the rules of St. Ignatius, to begin to have this kind of dialogue, this kind of disposition of heart, and it will affect your marriage, because in your own self-giving, you are drawing down graces that the Lord will bless your marriage with and to help heal.
When one of the spouses is doing what you've just said, Stephanie, 50% of the marriage is growing.
Yes.
And that,
yes,
that bodes well for the future.
Yes, please God. With that's the end of our show today. So we thank you for joining us, and we will continue this series, which you will be able to catch up on eventually. It'll be all uploaded to spiritualdirection.com. And thank you again, Father Gallagher, for being with us. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Stephanie.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.